This is Tofu Dave on Between the Covers, a literature quickie on your community radio station, WCOM LP 103.5 in Chapel Hill and Carrboro. And today I'm honored to have with me Alan Stoker, one of the authors of the new book, The Jordanaires, the story of the world's greatest backup vocal group. Alan, I'm honored, truly honored to have you here on community radio with me. And I understand that it was actually, if I'm not mistaken, your father who was an original member of the Jordanaires way back when. Is that the case?
Well, thank you, Dave. I'm glad to be here. Actually, the Jordanaires started in Springfield, Missouri in the late 1940s. They came to Nashville in 1950, and in 1951, my dad was hired to play piano for them. He had already been in Nashville 10 years or so playing professionally, and he auditioned for them and ended up becoming their piano player.
Well, what a great opportunity for him. And before we get into some of the stories I'm going to ask you to tell me about, I want to establish just the history here. Reading your book, I hadn't realized that the Jordanaires over the years provided backup singing to over 2,000 recording acts. Is that true? I mean, that's just in itself an unimaginable number.
Well, they worked for 60 years in the studios. And, you know, when you do three or four sessions a day, 5 days a week for... You know, they made Grammy-winning recordings for six decades, so they were in the recording scene for a long, long time. Yeah, I think we've got a list of around 2,000 people that they recorded with.
Just amazing. And you yourself have sort of gone on in the recording tradition in the sense that you're an archivist at the Country Music Hall of Fame and Museum, aren't you, Alan?
Yes, I've been one of the head archivists here at the Hall of Fame since 1980. So I've pretty much spent my entire career.
You know, over here in Chapel Hill and Carrboro, North Carolina, a lot of us are big country and bluegrass fans. I'm particularly into bluegrass myself. But, of course, one of the big things about the history of the Jordanaires, of course, was singing with Elvis. They
yes.
were an unmistakable part of his sound. And I found the story of how Gordon Stoker first met Elvis to be quite fascinating and an eye-opener for me. You want to tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Sure. The Jordanaires had been on a television series with Eddie Arnold, a show called Eddie Arnold Time in 1955. And they'd been going to Chicago once a week to record this TV show. And they were appearing around the country with Eddie to promote this show. And one of the appearances that they made was in Memphis, Tennessee, at the Ellis Auditorium there in Memphis. And while they were appearing there, Elvis got backstage. And Dad said that he really came backstage to meet them. And so Dad didn't really remember his name, but he remembered meeting a kid with a pink shirt on.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he said, you know, men just in 1955, men didn't wear pink shirts back then. In addition... He had on black pants with a white stripe down the side. So nobody dressed like that.
That's so right. And he was still a little at that point, I think, according to your dad, a little, quote unquote, rough around the edges somewhat.
He was rough around the edges. He was on Sun Records at that time. And he told them, he said, guys, if I'm trying to get a major record label. If I ever do that, I want you guys to work with me. And they were fortunate that they said, sure, we'd be glad to work with you. You know, they could have said, well, we don't really like guys with pink shirts and you need to have a second career as a backup. But they didn't say that to him. That's not who they were. And so sure enough, when Elvis was signed to RCA Records, he asked to have the Jordanaires sing with him. And they worked with him for up until 1972 or so in the studios.
Alan, also, what an honor, really, both ways. And one of the impressions I got reading your book in this regards was that both Your dad and all of the Jordanaires and Elvis. One of the things that struck me is a certain, let me say, humility and kindness to other people. In other words, they seem like guys who took people as they come and didn't have what you run across sometimes in entertainment of sort of airs about them that they were better than other people. Do you think that's an accurate description, or did that change at any point in the Jordanaires' career?
No, that's definitely an accurate description. They did whatever they could do to make the songs work. You know, if you wanted them to bray like a donkey, they would do that. If you wanted them to march, you know, that's what they would do. They did a lot of marching in Johnny Horton's Battle of New Orleans. You hear them marching, you know, at the end. Mm-hmm. There's a song called Electrified Donkey by Johnny Horton. They bray like donkeys at the end. They would do whatever it took to kind of bring the song alive. And they were pretty good at it. They were very successful at it.
They were. And they also, in a way, spanned a lot of the musical spectrum. I don't think a lot of people appreciate that. I mean, they sang with Dolly Parton, but they also sang with Fats Domino and Neil Young.
That's correct.
They worked with Ringo Starr. I mean, it's just all across really the musical spectrum in many ways. And a lot of people don't seem to realize that.
Well, people that I talk to about the Jordanaires, everybody pretty much knows that they worked with Elvis Presley, but they had a career way before they met Elvis. And long after Elvis passed away, they continued to have a good long career. Dad was very blessed that they were so in demand, and he worked really from 1951 when he started singing with them late 51. That's another story that's in the book. Why he started singing with them. But from 51 until he passed away, really, he was singing the whole time.
And Alan, this may be an unfair question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Do you have one or two particular recordings, sessions that they did that just for you personally stand out above and among all the others that they made that you really have stuck in your mind among their best work?
Well, I mean, I like almost all their work, Dave. That's kind of hard to say. There are a lot of great stories in the book, and a lot of those stories are my favorites. Dad was a great storyteller. I heard all these stories all my life. And so it's really hard to pick, you know, one or two. There are some good stories in the book.
Yeah.
There's one of them where they were singing with Waylon Jennings, and they were doing Only Daddy That'll Walk the Line. And there's a line in there that Dad actually sings kind of the harmony part with Waylon. A bunch of people had tried it, and Dad said, I can do it, but I don't want you to watch me while I'm doing it. And what he did, he put his hand up under his throat and moved it up and down so he could get the vibrato that Waylon got on Only Daddy That'll Walk the Line. Because that's the way Waylon was doing it. That's, you know, that's what background singers do. They try to match the phrasing.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah, the phrasing of the lead singer, or whatever it takes. And that's one of the things that he did.
Well, again, listeners, this book, it's recently come out. It's called The Jordanaires, The Story of the World's Greatest Backup Vocal Group, as told by Gordon Stoker, with Michael Kosser and our guest on the show, Alan Stoker. Well, Alan, our time here on Between the Covers is almost up. This is a quickie. I wish it was longer. Any final stories or thoughts you'd like to impart to our community radio listeners today?
Well, how long do we have?
Well, I know you could go on forever, but we can give you a little under a minute here.
Well, they were in Hollywood recording the Jailhouse Rock soundtrack with Elvis, and Elvis liked to warm up singing gospel songs before he started recording. So they sat around the piano and sang gospel songs all morning until the lunch break. And they took a lunch break. Elvis and all his guys left the studio, went to lunch. The Jordanaires stayed in the studio and had their lunch. And the movie officials came up to Dad and said, listen, we're wasting a bunch of time here. We got money's ticking. The clock's ticking down. We're wasting money. When he comes back from lunch, if he goes to the piano and starts singing gospel songs again, don't you guys go up and join him? Dad said, okay. You know, so sure enough, Elvis and all his guys come back in from lunch. Elvis goes right back up to the piano, starts playing. Of course, the Jordanaires don't go up and sing with him. And he turns around to him. He says, guy, why aren't you coming up here and singing? Elvis, he stuttered, you know, a little bit. And Dad said, well, Elvis, they told us not to come up here. And Elvis, Dad said, fire flew in his eyes. And he turned around and said, if I want to come in here and sing gospel songs all day, that's what I'll do. And he got up and marched out. And all those four or five guys in the so-called Memphis Mafia followed him right out the studio. Of course, they got nothing done that day.
Great story. Well, Alan, it's been wonderful talking to you. There's a lot more stories in your book, so I urge my listeners to get a copy of The Jordanaires, a story of the world's greatest backup vocal group. Again, Alan Stoker, thank you so much for chatting with us here on Between the Covers, a literature quickie with Tofu Dave on WCOM-FM, your community radio station.